Hi, this is Glenn Rawson. One of the most powerful ways to share history and heritage is by the telling of stories. We began sharing inspiring stories nearly 30 years ago. Each of those stories is true and was intended to inspire and strengthen faith. Over the years, those stories have reached millions around the world. This podcast is for you to listen, learn, and enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our devotional. First story. Early one summer morning, 17-year-old Tom Perkins jumped on the tractor and went off to spend the day baling hay. He said it was to be, quote, a beautiful day full of promise and fun, end of quote. You see, Tom loved farming. Well, he arrived in the field, lined the baler up on the windrow, and started down. After a few minutes, and you get to where you can tell, he could tell that the baler was having a hard time. So he stopped, got down, and checked the hay. Sure enough, it was damp, too damp to be safely baled. So Tom decided to stand down and let the hay dry out a little more later in the day. His intention was to unhook the baler right where it was and leave it in the field. So he went back, set the jack on the baler, and pulled the hitch pin. But as he attempted to pull off the PTO shaft from the tractor, it wouldn't come. It was stuck, and I remember this. He pulled harder, and suddenly the PTO came off with a jerk. Well, it rocked the baler, and the baler separated from the tractor. The jack collapsed, and the heavy steel tongue of the baler dropped to the ground, right on top of Tom's foot, crushing it. Tom screamed with the pain and tried to lift the baler off, but it was too heavy. He couldn't even move it. He looked around for someone to help, but there was no one close enough to assist him. He was pinned, in pain, and in serious trouble. Can you see it? He later wrote, quote, "Since I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and had been taught early in my youth to pray, I knew there was only one person who could help me, and that was my Father in heaven and Jesus. The pain was still surging through my body," he said. "I could not kneel down to pray, so I raised my voice to heaven for help. It was one of the most earnest prayers I have ever given, totally from my heart." End of quote. Well, just then, Tom felt an impression that he should try again to lift the tongue of the baler. He placed both hands under the tongue of the baler and with a prayer in his heart began to lift. To his surprise, the baler lifted easily. Quickly, he pulled his mangled foot free. No sooner had he done so than the baler fell out of his hands, landing on the ground with a solid thud. Somehow, Tom got on the tractor and with only one foot, started it, put it in gear, and drove it back to the farmhouse. As he drove into the farmyard, hanging over the steering wheel with the pain, his friend and co-worker entered the yard from the other side of the farm. He had been working and received a sudden prompting to go home. He arrived just in time as Tom pulled in and loaded Tom up and took him to the doctor. The foot was mangled, badly broken, the big toe only being held on by the skin. Well, this effectively ended Tom's high school football career, but it began in earnest his faith that the Almighty hears and answers prayers. Tom shared this story from the distant past with me in hopes that, as he said it, quote, "this story can inspire someone to pray always and have the faith that there will always be an answer," end of quote. Tom, thank you for sharing. A story from the Old Testament. The wickedness of those people who died in the flood in Noah's day was above that of all people in all the creations of God. It was that bad. Moreover, the flood was a great and terrible day to those people who lived through it. The suffering brought on by that event was unimaginable. Let me illustrate. First, Consider the suffering of those people left behind. As the windows of heaven opened and the deluge began, think about it. They would have recognized their foolishness. Oh, that we had listened to Noah, they may have cried. As the waters rose higher, they would have clambered in panic to higher ground. Higher and higher they would have scrambled in absolute terror until that moment that they were swept away. And speaking of suffering, have you ever thought about what Noah and his family endured? For 120 years, Noah had labored in love to save these people. That's charity. But in the end, on that day, only his wife, his sons, and their wives walked into the ark. When the Lord shut him in, who was shut out? Noah's grandchildren and great-grandchildren died in that flood. We can only imagine the suffering of those on the ark as their loved ones perished outside. And finally, still speaking of suffering, what was happening in heaven that day as the cataclysm of the flood struck the earth? All of heaven wept. God wept as he watched. Yes, I know. God is perfect, and he sees the end from the beginning and understands. And yes, God is the father of countless earths like this one. And yes, indeed, God was angry, indignant, and displeased with the people of Noah's day. Nevertheless, on that day, he was there. He was with them, and he wept. Why did he weep? Because they were his children. He created them and asked them to choose him and love one another. They refused and rebelled. Therefore, they suffered, and they would yet suffer the torment of the damned. Now, who cares? Who cares that they brought it on themselves? Makes no difference. He was with them and through it all and wept, though they did not see it nor know it. Now, my dear friends, there are times when we suffer for our sins, rebellion, and stupidity. And even though such times are necessary and good for us to learn a lesson, God stays with us. His heart never leaves us. Not now. Not ever. And at the earliest moment when he can, he will make the suffering stop. He will. Now, I want to add something that the prophet Joseph Smith said. If this doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. He said, Noah came before the flood. I have come before the fire. Next story. About 1860, I don't know the exact year, in Farmington, Utah, Lemuel Jerome Rice and other little boys went to watch the new piece of machinery operate. It was a threshing machine. Unfortunately, Lemuel happened to get too close to the machine and was pulled in. Before the men could stop the machine, quote, it seemed he was just pounded until there was hardly a bone that was not broken in his body, end of quote. The workers were surprised when they pulled the boy from the machine and discovered he was still alive. Everyone said he couldn't possibly live. However, his mother just couldn't give him up. She had already lost three children and could not bear the thought of losing a fourth. She asked the men to administer to him, and they responded that it was of no use. Quote, he couldn't possibly live, end of quote. The men left to get others to assist in burying the boy. As soon as they were gone, Lemuel's mother, Elizabeth Elmira Rice, turned and saw a man with a white beard and white hair standing at her side. He said to her, what is your trouble? And she said she wanted someone to administer to him. Evidently, the white-haired stranger agreed and laid his hands on the boy and proceeded to bless him by the authority of the holy priesthood. He promised that the boy would live. The family records state, quote, little Lemuel started to revive. But when she turned to thank the man, he was gone, and she didn't see him leave. When her husband and the men came to prepare him for burial, still quoting, they were surprised to see that he was still alive. He completely recovered, except that he had a slight limp all the rest of his life. But he recovered, grew to manhood, and raised a big family. End of quote. Can I say again one more time? Heaven is close and watching. Beverly Watkins, thank you for sharing that story. Now, this next story is a little on the lighter side, and it happened just a couple of days ago. I warned the two ladies involved here that I was going to tell this story, and I am delighted to share it. We went to San Diego. I took two groups of people and toured Mormon Battalion sites while we were down in Southern California. On the last day, we were on the last leg of the Mormon Battalion tour in San Diego. We were driving from St. George to Salt Lake. Now, on the bus with us were two dear ladies we all grew to love, Jean and Eileen. Both of them had flights in Salt Lake, leaving at 6:40 p.m. on Southwest to fly home to Sacramento. The problem was that the bus, all of us, we didn't get out of St. George until noon. Now, at least a couple people looked it up on the navigation and said we would arrive in Salt Lake at 4:40 p.m. Plenty of time, right? No, it was a bus with a governor. It didn't go the speed limit that everybody else did. At 4:40 p.m., when we were supposed to be in Salt Lake, I glanced down at my watch and looked at the road sign. We were in Nephi. I knew we were not going to make it on time, but I didn't want to say anything. We had no choice. We kept going. At 5:15 p.m., we were in the middle of Salt Lake Valley. It was looking more and more bleak by the moment. And then all of a sudden, up ahead, we saw the traffic, the brake lights coming on, and realized we were probably heading into a traffic slowdown. Now we were dead. We were not going to make it. Now, I didn't know this. I don't know that anyone knew this, but at this point, Jean leaned over to Eileen and said, quote, "We need to say a prayer." Well, unbeknownst to the rest of us, they offered a quick and desperate prayer. I guess there were no more flights out that night bound for Sacramento. They were out of time and out of options. A moment later, I'm sitting in the front seat. I heard a happy commotion from the back. I turned around. Evidently, Jean and Eileen had just finished the prayer. And moments later, Jean received a text from Southwest stating that their flight had been delayed 50 minutes, just the right amount of time to get there on time. There was general cheering and rejoicing all up and down the bus. A perfect ending to a wonderful church history tour all about faith in the living God.
Thank you for listening. Many of the stories you heard today have been published and are archived at glennrossinstories.com. If you would like more information, you can communicate with us there. We will be back again with another podcast next week.